Everything's running smoothly.
Yo, 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 what's going on? My name's Hartzell. That is Kenny. This right here, it's your Casey Morning Show. What's going on, Kitty?
Oh, you know, long weekend, yeah. Full bellies, busted out that tree. Haven't put it up yet, but it's out of the closet.
One step at a time. You are nailing the holiday season. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
So proud of you. Just vibing still?
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Nothing wrong with a good vibe, Kitty. Good Thanksgiving?
The best.
The actually. Best, you say.
It was really good for being so weird and all. Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
I got fed. I got full, got a chance to, watch some football. It's terrible football, but we watched some of it. Got a chance to hang out with the fam. Not very many of them, which
so
might
many
be
leftovers.
Best. All the leftovers. I want to do that thing. I saw the stuffing waffle. That's the thing now. I've never had that. I've never experienced it. I'd like to.
I have a waffle maker.
You do?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that was wonderful. Okay, let's do that. We got some extra stuffing. I know we do.
Oh, yeah.
We got a ton. All right, let's go. Breakfast for dinner.
Put a little gravy in the pocket to the waffle.
Oh, let's go. Oh, is that how it works? Oh.
Yeah.
I am ready. All right, Kitty, you want to do a weather dealio?
Let's get it.
Monday, November 30th. Your high today is 42. Sunny and 42. It's chilly. Who enjoys the cold? I don't know how y'all dig this. I feel like you're lying. I think you just want to be like a contrarian. This is not fun. Ugh. Anyway, sunny, 42. Winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Kitty, that championship UV index, what is it? What you think?
Feels like a 3.
Feels like a 3?
Yeah.
It's a 2.
Damn.
2 out of 10, and your sunset. Ooh, this might be a first. What's your guess? I kind of gave you a hint by saying that, but what do you think your sunset time is tonight?
My sunset, I don't know, 4:53.
4:53. Yeah. Not bad. 4:56 tonight. Is this the first time we've been under 5?
No, that's how I knew, because last week it was like 4:58.
Ugh. This is miserable. It's going to be December tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Wild. Well, anyway, speaking of tomorrow, sunny and 49 tomorrow. Your low, 28. Going to be cold. Bundle up. That's your weather dealio. This your KC Morning Show. Stacked show today, Kitty. We got, of course, Sports Illustrated's Benny Heisler doing a sports thing with us. But a new friend to the program, Toriano Porter. KC Stars, Toriano Porter. He has a new book out. So we're going to be talking about that. The 5 people you meet in the hood before you go to heaven. One of the voices I go to in Kansas City, especially, this last spring, we had all the protests and, again, we call it the racial reckoning in this country. So I'm excited to talk to him. Good people. Very good people.
Mm-hmm.
Kitty.
Yes.
How you doing? I feel like you got a little extra pep in the step. Are you fired up? Are you ready to go? Are you re-energized? Recharged, Kitty?
I think I'm just still in shock that tomorrow is December 1st.
Right.
To be honest, it's got me reevaluating that I've done nothing this November.
This is that time of year, especially when, we used to be working. It's lame duck season, because once you hit Thanksgiving, ain't nobody working, because the holiday break continues. You got Christmas, you got Hanukkah, you got Kwanzaa. In school, the semester was over. This was a time when you knew, like, all right, I'm going to make it to second semester. So now we got to try to get our lame ducks in a row.
Yeah. I just decided to go back to school this year, and I can't believe I'm already done with my first semester. Like, I have 3 classes left. Or no, I have 2 classes left.
Look at you.
This week is my last week of actual classes, and then I have finals next week.
Wow. Man, time flies.
Like, what?
Have you already picked out classes for next semester or what?
Yeah, I have started that process. I know early enrollment technically ends tomorrow, so I'm going to try and get that done.
There you
tomorrow.
Go. Look at you. All right, we got things to do. We got plans. 2021 coming for that ass.
Wow.
I'm fired up.
Ready to go.
Before we get going, though, I'm going to try something a little bit new. Usually I say this for the end of the show. Let's do it at the beginning. If you get a chance, Kansas City, we love you. Casey Morning Host. If you wouldn't mind, give us a rating. Leave a review. A good one, please.
Keep you filth to yourself.
But if it's a good one, you know, let us hear that. Let them hear that. Let the algorithms hear that, because we're doing really well. And again, that's all because of you, Kansas City. But we could do better. Why not be great? You know, what's that Michelle Obama quote? Get used to a little greatness, you know? Let's be great, Kansas City. This is your show. Did you update your bio? We won a pitch award.
We did.
Best local podcast, KC Morning Hose. You can put that in the bio because you did that. Let's keep doing stuff. Tell your friends about us. The best marketing still, word of mouth. They teach you that in college yet?
Yeah, actually.
Did they? Yeah. Professor Hartzell concurs. I want to get your opinion on this. Mm-hmm. You know, we met in a pandemic, and eventually, Kitty, you know, we're going to be coming out of our cage. Like the Killers said, it's going to be amazing. Cannot wait. And there's this poll that came out. Mm-hmm. 1 in 3 people say that a cheesy pickup line has worked on them. Okay. 42% of men say they have fallen for the one-liner. Obviously, men are trash. Compared to 27% of women. All right. Has a one-liner worked on you, Kitty? I didn't have anything. I don't think I brought a one-liner, did I?
No. You came straight to the point. Like, hey, I hope your mom's doing okay. I was like, this dude.
See, I'm a long conner. Yeah. I'm a long con kind of guy. You gotta do your research. Like, oh, I see your mom went in for some type of surgery a few weeks ago. So what do you do a month or so after? Hey, by the way, how's your mom feeling? It's the Hartzell method. You know, Dennis has the Dennis system on Always Sunny. Yeah. I have the Hartzell method. One-liners, do you remember any that stand out to you? Any? Do you remember if it worked?
You know, I'm sitting here reading actually the first message I sent to you, and I...
What was it?
I said FYI, ILY. FYI, I love you. Thanks for being both hot and super funny.
Oh, stop it. See, what? You came with the flattery, which always works on me, by the way. Always. Yep. So okay. So that's the kitty
I came
system.
Straight in with the I love you. Yeah, no, that's me. I just lay it all out on the line. You accepted pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I got some one-liners for you. These are some of the worst, but they have worked. This was compiled by SWNS.com, okay? 1 in 3 people say a cheesy pickup line has worked. Perhaps it was one of these. Number 1, I got a library card, so now I'm checking you out.
Gross.
Number 2, are you from Tennessee? Because you're the only 10. Mm-hmm. I see. That one's all right, there you go. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. All right. How about this number 3? Do you like raisins? Well, how do you feel about a date? That's a good one. There's something wrong with my phone. Doesn't have your number in it. Now, if that counts as a one-liner, I'm out, because I've used that one. Number 5, feel my shirt. Do you think it's made of boyfriend material?
Gross. I knew that was coming.
Number 6, I must be in a museum, because you're a work of art.
Oh, my.
Mm. Yeah, you know, you can't spell Hartzell without art. That's true. Mm-hmm. Number 7, you must be tired, because you've been running through my mind all day. I like that one. Number 7, really. I feel like I've heard that one since I was like 2. Number 8, Kitty, are you a time traveler? Because I can see you in my future.
No.
I don't get this one. My name is Microsoft. Can I crash at your place tonight?
Oh, my God.
And number 10. Hey, these are actual pickup lines that have actually worked. Number 10, are you a magician? Because when I look at you, everything disappears. 1 in 3 of you bit for one of those lines. And hey, I get it. Some of that was just fire.
I wish I still had Tinder just so I could look through those messages. But I had it for like 3 days. I told you why I got off Tinder after 3 days I had it.
No, you did not. What happened?
Because everyone, and this is not to toot my own horn or anything, but, you know, beat mother effing beep. I kept getting messages from people asking if I was a catfish.
Oh, okay. Almost too good to be true.
Yeah, right. Because I was like, hey, I like frogs and rock and roll. I got this Jim Morrison tattoo. And then they're like, yeah, these aren't your pictures.
Yeah, you're like almost, you're too cool of a cool girl.
Yeah.
I probably would have said the same thing.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't have that problem on my end. People were like, oh, yeah, that's him.
That's Hartzell. Yep, of course he's on Tinder.
See, I'm not someone who does the one-liner kind of thing. In fact, I don't do any of this stuff. There's two types of Hartzells. There's Hartzell in show mode, who is more of like the Lando Calrissian type. Uh-huh. Like, I perform and like the, I'm going to sound like such a... When I perform, the aura kind of expands out. You know what that makes any sense? Real Hartzell is terrified of everything, especially women, and would not dare make the first move in any situation. Like real life me, when I going out to Westport with the boys, they're like, yo, go, you know, I was like, no. I cannot take that kind of rejection. No, thank you. So are you a go get them? Do you do the whole wait and let the guy buy you a drink at the bar? Also, is that really still a thing? Is that real?
I don't really let anyone buy me drinks at the bar. I worked in a bar young. My mother was always a bartender or bar manager. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you don't go home with a stranger from the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, meeting people online is whatever, I guess, now. But strangers at the bar are still just, I'm the mom friend. If someone says, oh, can I buy so-and-so a drink? I'm like, yeah, let me come with you. Okay. I'll watch you buy it. I'll watch you walk it back. And you better tip good.
Okay. Well, there you go. We gave you the material. 10 excellent pickup lines to choose from. Good luck to you. Good luck to you. All right, Kitty. Well, with all that being said, you wanna do the news?
Is that a pickup line?
Hey, baby.
I want to do the news.
Hey, baby, you wanna make my headline? I'm sorry.
My mom told me that back in the day when my dad wanted to, you know, whatever, he'd be like, hey, D, you want to go change a light bulb? Gross.
Monday, November 30th. Let's do that news.
In other news, this city needs its news.
News team, assemble!
Let's go, let's go! KC Morning Show, my name's Hartson. That's Kitty, back in your feeds. It's been too long, way too long. A whole week, Kitty, a whole week.
Well,
I know. They got that holiday special.
They do.
That's right, the holiday special too, which means there was once just one, but now there's two, because this show, we've been doing this now for over a year, Kitty. Nobody thought we'd make it this long.
Said it couldn't be done.
Some said, Kitty, it couldn't be done. But here we are, Kansas City. And the KC Morning Hoes, they said, no, we want a morning show type radio on my podcast. We want it on our time. We want to speak and be heard. We want to hear about Kansas City. We want to tell Kansas City how much we love them.
Was that the Gettysburg Address?
I don't know. I don't really know what I was doing with that. Who is that character? I don't know who that guy is. And one day, Kansas City, we will rise up to corporate radio. We will say podcasting is the way. We will say this is the KC Morning Show.
This is the way.
This is the way. That was the way, but this is the way.
Okay, now you're getting weird. You're kind of
it's
like
going on.
Obama Churchill. Winston Obama. We're watching The Crown right now.
We are, yeah. Can
you
tell?
We got into it.
I'm very impressionable by the media that I'm watching at the time.
Same. It's my latest fixation, and I do love a good period piece, so appreciate that.
Oh, I got to find a name for that character, though. I don't know who that guy was.
It was weird.
He was something else. He was, what he was inspirational is what he was.
Oh, my God. I forgot. Your middle name is Winston, isn't it?
It is.
Jesus.
Hotsu Winston Douglas Gray III.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. On that note, let's do this. Let's do this, Kitty, shall we? COVID!
That was horrible.
Well, this morning, Missouri is reporting more than 3,800 coronavirus cases. That is more than 295,000 since the start of this pandemic. Now, in the last update, Kansas health officials reported more than 5,200 cases of the virus, bringing the overall total to more than 150,000. Now, we'll be getting updates from both states a little bit later today.
And today, Kitty, looks like a bunch of schools, they are headed back to that remote learning deal starting this week. Shawnee Mission Schools, along with the two largest districts in Johnson County, Olathe and Blue Valley, they won't be returning to in-person classes until 2021. So I guess now the question is, what do we do? We have Thanksgiving. What's the next step?
Experts are hoping people will do the right thing after traveling for the Thanksgiving holiday and quarantine to slow the virus spread. This comes as cities prepare for a spike in post-holiday infections. Health experts warn it can take a week or more after an exposure for the virus to show up in testing, and many cases are asymptomatic. So people who feel fine or test negative 1 to 2 days after returning home may still be carriers.
You don't understand how real this virus is until it affects you. For a while there, I don't think a lot of us realized that. People didn't know anyone who had the disease. They didn't even know friends of friends. Well, now it's kind of hard to say that. I mean, at this point, I think all of us either knows someone, either had the disease. I mean, it's hard to say that this isn't affecting us personally. And, you know, the KC Fire Department, another firefighter taken from us because of COVID.
Today, Missouri Governor Mike Parson is ordering U.S. and Missouri flags to be flown at half staff at every fire station in the whole state. This is in honor of KCFD Captain Robert Bobby Rocha. Captain Rocha died on November 21st. You can see his picture right here. This was a result of COVID-19. He contracted the virus this month while serving as a firefighter. Governor Parson saying this: throughout his 29-year career with the Kansas City Fire Department, Captain Robert Rocha lived by the highest ideals of the fire service: the safety of others, professionalism, teamwork, and sacrifice.
Let's do some good news, Kitty. Vaccine talk. I'm ready to get back out in them streets, Kitty. Another vaccine with some really positive results. Moderna this time.
Breaking news right now. New reports out from Moderna say that its coronavirus vaccine is 94% effective. Now, the company is now seeking emergency approval from the United States as well as Europe. If it gets that approval, Moderna's vaccine could be available for Americans by the end of the year.
This doesn't seem difficult to me. The vaccines are on the way. We got a bunch of them to choose from that seem to be pretty legit. The numbers, the cases are skyrocketing. People are still dying. No one seems to be caring about that. How about this? Powers that be, pay us to stay home. Pay these small businesses to stay open. Let's just close things for a bit until these vaccines are ready. Then we take it and then we go back and party. Now, I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV, but to me, that makes sense. But it also means that someone has to give a damn, and I don't seem to find anyone who, you know, gives a damn.
A beaver gives a damn.
Oh, there she is. There she is to lighten the mood. There she is. It's about that time, Kitty. 9 months since that Super Bowl win. We said it then, and now we are seeing it now. Super Bowl babies.
The season ticket holders got engaged on the field at Arrowhead and even named their dog Chief. But all of their dreams finally came true when the team won it all. And in just a few days, they'll be holding their own trophy.
We've always wanted a big family. We knew we would have one, just a matter of when. And we kind of let that be up to, you know, whatever happens. And it just happened to happen after 9 months after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dr. Mark Parrish with the University of Kansas Health System says,
a lot of us here at KU, especially in our labor and delivery ward, anticipated that we would see a big uptick in the number of deliveries 9 months following the Super Bowl.
There we go. This is where the Mahomes magic happens, am I right? You think he says that? I would for sure say that. Is Cribs still a thing? Remember that show?
Yeah.
If I were Pet, that's how I would intro my bedroom. I'm just saying. If you are still looking to, you know, support local, maybe do it all in one stop, check out Union Station.
If you're looking for more ways to shop local, you can check out the Strawberry Swing Indie Craft Fair at Union Station. The European-style open-air holiday market features work from more than 40 local artisans and makers. For small business owners, this is a chance to meet new customers and reconnect with old ones. The holiday market runs every weekend until December 20th.
What you gonna get me? I got a list. Oh, excuse me?
Hartzell.
What was that?
We've talked about this.
You getting that refund money?
I am a struggling college student.
Listen. Santa FAFSA says I'm in some nice.
Santa FAFSA don't return until after new year.
Damn it, Santa.
Yep.
Let's go national. Oh boy, Biden. Well, he hurt himself.
What'd he do?
An unexpected detour for President-elect Joe Biden today. His motorcade took him to a Delaware doctor's office for an apparent ankle injury that happened Saturday. Aides refused to let journalists see Mr. Biden enter or leave, but told reporters President-elect Biden slipped while playing with his dog Major and twisted his ankle. Out of an abundance of caution, he will be examined this afternoon by an orthopedist. While Biden was being examined, the transition rolled out a big staff announcement. Women to fill all the top seven communications roles, including former Obama aide Jen Psaki, named White House press secretary, and deputy campaign manager Kate Bedingfield as communications director.
Speedy recovery to the pres-elect. You know,
playing with the dog, Kitty. Happens to the best of us.
At least there is a dog.
That's true. They're getting a cat too. See that? Talk about unity. They're really reaching across the aisle.
Yes, diversity in the White House.
You like that cabinet?
I do. You know, I've said it once, say it again. The future is female.
Kansas, look out for these quarters.
Well, as you're out holiday shopping this year, keep an eye out. The U.S. Mint has released a newly designed quarter, which highlights the natural beauty of the Sunflower State. This is the brand new Tall Grass Prairie National Preserve Collector's Coin. It features a skyward view of the prairie, native big blue stem and Indian grasses, as well as a regal fritillary butterfly. It is the 55th installment of the Mint's America the Beautiful Quarters program. Around 300 million of them were pushed into circulation.
I don't know much about coin design or anything like that, but looks pretty neat. It's pretty neat. Missouri, we had our quarter back in 2017.
Ah.
For those keeping track at home.
Okay.
Your coin collections. My brother used to do that. Back when they had the new quarters for every state.
I just think I would forget and use them on laundry or something.
Well, that's what I did. When he went to college, the board was still there, so I took all those quarters.
Oh my gosh. And you just used them on like vending machines.
Yeah, that's what it was. Vending machines. Yeah. See this story? The luscious locks of one George Clooney?
No.
He recently let us in on a little secret. You know, who does his hair? How does George Clooney get his hair so perfect? Well, guess what? He does it himself, believe it or not.
Wow.
Have you heard of the Flowbee, Kitty?
Before the Flowbee, only a skilled professional could produce a good layered haircut. This ingenious device lets you give yourself and family perfect haircuts every time.
As you can see, Flowbee's just taking off a little bit of hair, and it's trimming her bangs. It's a bouncy motion that I go up and down, and her hair is perfect.
Tens of thousands have been sold to satisfied customers. Why? Because it really works.
There you go.
These people got bowl cuts in the videos. You are playing with me.
Pour one out, Kitty. The original Darth Vader. He became a Force ghost this weekend. R.I.P.
Find the passengers of this vessel. I want them alive.
I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic
mission. You are part of the Rebel Alliance and a traitor. Take her away.
So most of us know the voice of Darth Vader as James Earl Jones, which is correct because it was dubbed over. But the original Darth Vader, who stood in on the set, who did the lines, he passed away just this last Saturday. His name was David Prowse. He was 85.
Wow.
Donned the Darth Vader suit in the original trilogy.
He was a former bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm. Dude, he's huge. Huge.
Oh, wow.
I got a few different clips for this. I found myself on Saturday in the year of our Lord 2020 watching Mike Tyson take on Roy Jones Jr.
Is a draw. Mr. Tyson, what do you think of that?
I'm good with that.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
All right, we'll be back to you in a second. You happy with this draw?
Hell no. I ain't never said if I were a draw. I wear draws. I don't do draws. I like it. For me, I thought I did enough boxing on the outside to edge it out, but, you know, I'm cool with a draw. I mean, we just might have tried to do it again.
They had Jake Paul, the YouTube dude, who I can't stand. He's the worst, but I love pro wrestling, so you know what, man? Be a heel. If you're going to be a heel, be a heel. Absolutely. And he just knocked the shit out of Nate Robinson, the basketball star.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I was like, Nate, you had a nation behind you. You could have been a national hero, but no. Went out like a punk. Ridiculous. But as I'm watching it, I'm like, man, I am finding myself increasingly sports entertained. And then we got to the main event. Snoop was probably the highlight. He also hopped on commentary.
Tyson all over Roy Jones Jr., Snoop.
Like two of my uncles fighting at the barbecue. get your uncle out of there. Get him out. You go meet me in the backyard. I'm tired of this. Meet me back here, huh? Boy, look at my uncles. Look at him. Look at my uncles out there fighting in the backyard.
It was so good. Am I a bad person for wanting to see this again? Like, I want to see him do more of these. He's 53. He didn't look terrible. In fact, Mike looked pretty good. Roy, there is something left to be desired. My man was basically just wrestling. He was just trying to hold him. But Mike didn't look bad. Am I bad for wanting to see more of this?
No.
Would you watch it with me, though?
No.
I am black, beautiful.
KC Morning Show.
He is an award-winning journalist, three-time author. He's got a new one out, which is why we're talking to him right now on your KC Morning Show. Toriano Porter, his new book is called The Five People You Meet in the Hood. Five new, bold, powerful, and reflective personal essays on reconciliation and redemption. Toriano Porter from the KC Star. Welcome to your KC Morning Show. This is awesome, man.
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks, Carson. Thanks for having me, man. I'm really honored to be on the show today. I really am. I'm a big fan. I'm a really big fan.
Oh, man. Well, that means a lot to me. And I've been doing radio since 2013. And, you know, it's I'm still very much growing in the business. And as I've been developing my voice, I just want you to know this. I'm not blowing smoke. You know, you are someone who I read your work and I listen to your words, and it helped me to develop my voice, you know. And so I just am so thankful for you doing this. This new book is incredible. Wow. And I just want to say thank you. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for all the work that you do in Kansas City.
Oh, man, I'm humbled. That means a lot. I'm humbled. And, you know, I take what I do very seriously and the responsibility that comes with that. So I'm humbled that you would pay attention, but also, you know, just be inspired by that. So thank you.
And the book, it's one of those things where, you know, you read it, you see the title, and it almost makes you mad because it's such a good idea. And you're like, why did I not think about this? Because, you know, it's a play on the Mitch Albom book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven.
Absolutely.
You did a swerve, The Five People You Meet in the Hood.
The subtitle is Before You Get to Heaven.
Exactly.
So go ahead.
So explain how did you get here, and why do you think this is the moment for this book right now?
Okay, well, years ago, I read Mitch Albom's book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven. And it was a novel, and it was one of the most profound novels I've ever read. It was about, you know, it's a story about a mechanic named Eddie who was, he's an older gentleman, and he dies in a tragic accident at the amusement park that he worked. You know, with Mitch being a sports reporter, and, you know, coming up, that's what I wrote, even though I'm in hard news now, I'm a hard news man masquerading. Well, I'm a sports guy masquerading as a hard news guy. But I've always been, you know, just into sports and sports writing. And I was a fan of Mitch. He was on Sports Reporters on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And so I read the book, and I was fascinated by the themes of how we're all connected, the afterlife and spirituality. One of my favorite literatures of all time. But the title, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, I just always loved that title. It was one of my favorite titles of a book. And, you know, as a writer, we're always thinking about book titles and catchy slogans and things like that. And this was in the early 2000s. So it was years ago when I read this book, but I always said I wanted to do something with that title. I didn't know what it was going to be. My first book didn't come out until 2008. And so at some point, as I started working on this little project, it just dawned on me that this was the time. And so with my upbringing being in the urban environment, basically coming from a rough neighborhood in South St. Louis and dealing with the pitfalls and the trappings of the inner city life and losing friends and close family members, I thought this would be a good opportunity, me being the writer that I am, to turn the connotation of hood on its head and present it to mainstream America. Now, the stories are about growing up in a rough environment, but it's written in a way that anybody can read it. And that's what I want to kind of bring to the table.
Can you explain some of those characters in the book? Because I felt a connection with every single one of them on a spiritual level. Can you explain who they are and maybe why you get so connected to them so fast?
So with Mitch's book, The Five People You Meet in Heaven, it was a novel. I wanted to flip that premise on his head. So my book is a collection of personal essays, non-fictional personal essays. So these stories are about my two best friends, my firstborn son, his half-brother, and my stepmom who passed away from breast cancer. So my two best friends died at the age of 33 and 35. My one friend, Worry, he's a character in the book. He died at 33 from gun violence in St. Louis. My second best friend, Ricky, took his own life at the age of 35 in Springfield, Missouri. My firstborn son's half-brother, when I met his mom, she already had a son. He was 3 years older than my firstborn son, Toriano II. He was shot and killed the day after my best friend took his own life. Less than 4 months after that, my firstborn son was shot and killed at the age of 16. Mm-hmm. 2 days before he died, my stepmom died of her disease. So those are the characters that are in the book, and I wanted to just kind of write some stories, short little quick stories, essays about what they meant to me and how they changed my life.
How do you, I mean, man, how do you unpack all that? I mean, we're in a pandemic. We went through a spring that was a racial reckoning. I mean, emotions. I mean, I had to get out, but I wouldn't take a little road trip. How did you, I guess, face those feelings again?
Well, you know, with the pandemic starting in March, we've been working from home pretty much since. And, you know, when you work from home, you spend a lot of time in solitude, a lot of time alone. And, you know, after work, you know, and doing your daily duties, you're sitting there thinking, how can I be productive? So, you know, during the spring and summer months, well, I would say the spring months, I was just kind of sitting there twiddling my thumbs, trying to figure out what I was going to do outside of my occupation. And then somewhere along the lines, May came, and the George Floyd protest jumped off, and a protest in Kansas City jumped off. So I was on front line covering that all through the summer. And after the summer was over, I decided I was going to sit down, and I was going to have something tangible for myself and my mental health and my spirituality that I was going to put out to the world, because I've always felt like, for me, writing was therapy. But to dig deep and tell these stories, that was, like you would say, an awakening. And I had to go deep. And it was hard to relive those moments because I got those phone calls. You know, my family is in St. Louis. I was in KC when I got those phone calls every single time. Besides the time my best friend took his own life, I was actually on vacation in Atlanta when I got that call. And the next day I got the call about my brother's half-brother. So I cut a 10-day vacation short to come back to St. Louis. But I've always been away getting them calls, and I had to go back to the moments when I got those calls, and that just was really hard.
Well, I think back to those moments right after, you know, right after the video went viral and the protest started. What a lot of Black folks were saying at the time and what we are still saying now is that we're just tired.
Yep.
It's too hard to look back and have to revisit all those memories. But you did that in this book, and you did it so eloquently, and it's all intertwined. And I'm wondering if you can maybe help me here. How do we take those memories? How do we look back at the past and still move forward to something productive? We don't stew in there. We don't get lost in our anger and our grief. How do we make a moment a movement?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that I actually put this out. I did want to be an inspiration because at the end of the day, you know, when you lose your two best friends and your son, your firstborn son, it humbles you, and it brings your mortality into play. Like, we are born to die. It's what we do in between that matters. Okay. So I'm in this position. I know I have a talent, a God-given talent to write. Unfortunately, I have been through these stories and these griefs, but everyone's been through loss and grief. And so what I wanted to do was just kind of write these stories to inspire people to, you know, reflect, reconcile, redeem whatever situations you had with your loved ones and respect their memories and move forward to try to be better. 2 days after I buried my son, 11 years ago, 2 days after I buried him, I went in front of 50 at-risk kids in St. Louis to have a talk with them about the importance of education. So I've always used his death as a way to reach you, but I never really dealt with it myself. And that's what the five people in the hood was about, coming to grips with the fact that I lost my two best friends, my son, my stepmom, and my stepson within 19 months of each other.
Well, I think absolutely another character that I guess maybe underlying through all this is just the environment, the system in which that we live in. You know, it's kind of that hidden hand throughout this entire story. And you're on the front lines. You cover the stuff. You see every day in KC where we've been, where we're going, especially in this year. If you wrote a follow up to this book in 5-10 years, do you think the context in which you're writing will be different? I know I hope so,
absolutely.
But do you think so?
Absolutely not. And here's what's crazy, Hartzell. It won't be 5 years for the follow-up. It'll be 6 months. I'm going to write volume two. It's going to come out in May.
Oh, my man. There we go.
I have 5 new stories for volume two. Unfortunately, I've been impacted personally by gun violence a lot. Again, my stepmom died of breast cancer, and one of my best friends took his own life. But after that, it's pretty much been gun violence. Mm-hmm. So I have 5 new stories that I'm working on right now. You know, you're only as good as your latest project. So I'm moving forward, working on my next project, 5 new personal essays about people I love. It's going to be about my uncle, my great uncle, and 2 of my good friends from the neighborhood who were shot and killed, and also a good friend of mine. So they're all connected. They're all different than this first volume, but they're all connected. And again, it's me writing, that's using writing as therapy, but also sharing my words with the world so they can be inspired to deal with their grief and their tragedies as well.
How do we change the context? I mean, how do we take your words and put that into action? You kind of give us the call to arms and then we got to go out there and change the world. Mm-hmm. But as someone who did, you know, write a playbook or at least is contributing to a playbook, what do we do?
I think from my standpoint, is what I'm trying to model is personal responsibilities for those choices, self-improvement, and giving yourself to the community. And I think if we start with that, then we can reach the younger generation and instill in them the importance of the community, the importance of conflict resolution, the importance of education, and the importance of staying away from guns, drugs, and violence. There is a message in my story. The day I stepped out of that negative environment that I was in was the day that changed my life and put me on the course to where I'm talking to you today, Hartzell, as a member of an opinion writer in America. So, yeah. That's really my goal.
Toriano Porter, he is, like you said, an opinion writer for the KC Star. He's on the editorial board. The new book is out, and it is it's excellent. The Five People You Meet in the Hood, parenthetical, before you get to heaven. I want to talk to you about this, Toriano, and I'm so happy you brought this up. You brought up mental health. And you know, especially in the Black community, you know, that is something we don't talk about. We do a terrible job with that. I am someone who also, I was hospitalized. You know, I tried to take my own life. And so I have tried, since I got out, to help break the stigma. And like you said, that moment when you change your life, it was similar to me when I got out of the hospital. There's just something different in the air when you breathe, that first step, when you realize that, you know what, I don't necessarily see that light at the end of the tunnel, but I know the directions and I know where I gotta go. How do we break that stigma, not just overall, but in the Black community, Toriano? We are so underrepresented, even though we know that number is high, and it's because we're not telling people.
Absolutely. And first, I would like to say, I would like to commend you for even being public about that, because that is something that's personal to you and something that you went through. So I commend you for being open and honest about that. And that's where it starts, hard to honestly, guys like me and you opening the conversation about the importance of mental health. Now, I have to be honest with you. I started losing people in my neighborhood when I was probably 15 or 16 years old. And these were close friends.
Yeah.
At 18, one of my cousins was shot in the head 3 times. At 20, one of my good friends in the neighborhood, Park Avenue in South St. Louis, was shot and killed by the police during a drug raid. I lost 2 college football teammates. I lost them to gun violence in the streets of St. Louis. You have to understand, we left St. Louis in the 90s to go to college to get away from that. Mm-hmm. And it still happened. Going through all of this, I'm 46 years old. I did not go and talk to a therapist until I was 42. Do you know how much unaddressed trauma I had to take head on? Know how much baggage I had to take head on? So I say that to say, we have got to teach our family, our friends, our kids, and our community that mental health is just like your physical health or anything else. You have to take care of it. And if you don't feel right, it doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you a loser. It doesn't make you anything but human. No one mandated I go. I wasn't a threat to myself, but I was in a bad place emotionally and mentally, and I was trying to figure out what was going on. And I did that for a year, and it probably was probably the best decision I ever made in my adult life, and allowed me to free myself. And so once I freed myself, I was able to sit down and start writing again personally. And one of the things that came out of that was this project.
Machines are fixed and humans heal, you know, so we just got to heal up. We got to trust the process. Toriano, before I let you go, day to day, you're out there. You can read the room better than most folks, my friend. I always say on the show, it's a good day to be a Kansas Cityan. Is it a good day?
Yes. Kansas City is a good place to be. It's a great place to raise a family. It's a great place to establish and jumpstart your career. It's a great place to retire. I love everything about the city. It has its warts. We have got to get a hold on the gun violence. We have got to get a hold on the domestic violence. And we have got to get a hold on mental health situation here in this city. And we have to teach our young people from the time they're in preschool the art of conflict resolution. So, yes, it's a great day to be in Kansas City. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. You're not going to hear a lot of people say that. I say it every single day. This place is a slept-on gym. It's a good city that could be great. We just got to get a hold of the violent crime and accountability within the structure of power here.
Toriano Porter, he is an award-winning journalist. If you can't tell, he's just he's one of the good ones, absolutely. A writer for the KC Star on the editorial board, opinion writer for the Star. The new book is out, The Five People You Meet in the Hood, parenthetical before you get to heaven. Toriano, where can people find it? I know it's on Amazon. Where else?
So, with it being a pandemic, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to put out my first digital project. It's my third book, first digital-only project. I wanted to give people the opportunity to just download the book at their hands. So for my Android lovers, you can download it on the Kindle app. For my Apple lovers, you can download the Kindle app for iPhone and get the book from there. The Five People You Meet in the Hood Before You Get to Heaven is, for the fourth consecutive day, the number one hottest new release on Amazon.com right now. I'm not making it up.
My man.
It's documented. It's documented.
Congratulations, it's
number one,
brother.
In America. Yes, sir. And you can find me on all the social channels at Toriano Porter. That's TORIANOPORTER. And the website, www.torianoporter.com.
I can't wait to have you on soon. You got an open door policy on this show.
Absolutely.
Come on, Lenny. Pump it in there, baby. Just keep a trickling the ball down the field, boys.
The KC Morning Show.
Sports. Let's do a sports thing. He's back. It's been too long. My brother, Sports Illustrated's Benny Heisler.
What's up, Heisler? Happy post-Thanksgiving to you, dude. It's good to hear from you.
I want you to know this. I'm thankful for you.
That's beautiful, man. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this morning show. Thankful for the platform. Thankful to the fine folks who have reached out saying, hey, I like it when you guys do a little sports thing. So it means a lot. It means a lot to me. But it was good, man. We were able to get my parents-in-law. They live just about a 10-minute drive away. My sister's younger brother. So it was a small Thanksgiving. I normally they like to go all out, but it was much smaller. We were able to have it outdoors because the weather was beautiful. We had ourselves a good day, man. How about you?
It was good, man. We just got a chance to hang out with the fam. We watched some just awful games on television. What the hell? Can we talk about this, Benny? When will this be the Chiefs' spot? I mean, obviously, we are America's team. That Thanksgiving game belongs to Kansas City, man. This year was garbage.
All right, so here's the thing. I would just tell you, be careful what you wish for.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Because you got two crummy-ass teams in the Lions and the Cowboys that are always going to play on Thanksgiving. That's been the tradition for however many years. If the Chiefs play the Lions, they beat them by 40. If the Chiefs play the Cowboys, they beat them by 45. Like, maybe you put them in the Sunday night game. That's usually the good one. But that one, in the midst of COVID, got canceled, and then it got postponed. It's supposed to be played on Tuesday between the Ravens and the Steelers. But, like, half the Ravens are going to be out, including Lamar Jackson. So I just don't know if that's something that you always want. Plus, the Chiefs are always going to be, you know, likely playing on the first Thursday night game of the year because, you know, you got to go ahead and play in the game after you defend your Super Bowl. So I just don't know. To me, it doesn't feel like it's all that exciting. I'd rather have the Chiefs on a Sunday. If you're there in the Sunday night game, that's fine. Like, that's my day of football anyway. Like, Thanksgiving, sometimes you have it on, sometimes you're paying attention. But, like, give me the Chiefs on a day where I can actually watch a beautiful game that they tend to play, at least on the offensive side of the ball.
All right, Benny, we have feasted on the tears of Tom Brady. Benny, break this game down. It was just so wonderful. Also, it became a game late. What happened?
All right, so two-part question there. The first element was, yeah, Brady was not sharp in the first half, and neither was the Buccaneers defense, which is a good defense. But as Kansas City has shown time and time again, they can make even the best defenses look fairly rudimentary. Just Tyreek Hill in the first quarter, that was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
Down the field, who else? Hill at the 10, cut back, touchdown. Touchdown and a leap. Carlton Davis has been beaten again. And Hill is over 200 yards in this opening quarter.
Like, just elusiveness, complete breakdown in the secondary. He got himself open to, like, there wasn't a whole lot of busted coverage. He just beat his man. Like, he just got himself open, and 200 yards in the first quarter was absolutely stunning. Mahomes throwing for, like, 450 over the course of that game, Kelce having another monster performance. You know, it kind of bothered me a little bit, only in the sense that they didn't stomp on him. Like, they let Tampa Bay hang around, and they didn't need to. Like, the defense had played well enough. They'd gotten some pressure. They made a couple turnovers. Like, you could have stomped on the Buccaneers' throat, but instead you let them hang around. And it always sort of – it always bugs me a little bit, Hartzell, when good teams just kind of put their foot off the pedal. And sometimes that'll bite you. Like, the Falcons in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the Patriots were up 28-3. Let them hang around and hang around, and then all of a sudden you make a mistake because you're not right there at 100%. Now, I will say this. As a betting man, I actually thought the Bucs were going to come out and ready to play. So I took them at +3.5.
Oh, final this score, guy. This guy.
Final score, Bucs +3. So your boy covered. In fact, I covered with a little room to spread. Regardless, you know, if you're Kansas City, there's been times where you've just let your guard down this year, but when you play as well as you're capable of, and again, it's the NFL, it's a week-to-week league, there's no stopping this. Like, I'd put them up against Pittsburgh, I'd put them up against Green Bay, and I just don't think there's anybody from a talent level that when they're clicking can slow them down. But you need to be locked in, and the Chiefs can find those moments where they're locked in and they're just flat-out unstoppable. And that's what you saw for at least the first half last on Sunday.
All right, before we move on, what do you think about Romo? I thought he did just fine. You know, it's Mahomes versus Brady. You know, the narratives were already there. I think Romo's one of the best in the game, but whew, my man loves Tom Brady. Loves, apparently just the crossing route was created by the New England Patriots, apparently.
I don't have an issue. Like, listen, Mahomes will, you know, he's on pace to certainly pass him, but you can't deny that Brady is the greatest quarterback in the history of the game, still playing at 43 years old. And, you know, because Romo is typically doing AFC games, he doesn't get a lot of Brady anymore. And so I think he's just, you know, cherishing it. He knows that Brady doesn't have a whole lot left. You know, Romo sort of looks at himself and says, man, like, I think he's reminiscing a little bit. I think he's admiring Brady from afar. That's all I think it was. And as far as, you know, him being a broadcaster and an analyst, I mean, the dude's making $17 million a year. Like, he's the highest paid analyst in the country. So clearly audiences have resonated with Tony Romo. I think Chiefs fans were probably a little annoyed because all they hear is all this love for Pat Mahomes, and it's not as if Romo was throwing Mahomes under the bus. Like, there's not a bad thing you can say about this guy right now. I just don't think Chiefs fans particularly hear the nice things about Tom Brady when their quarterback substantially outplayed him. So I think it was a little bit of reminiscing, and I think that was all it was.
Looking back at it now, Benny, your KC Morning showman of the game, who you got?
I mean, how do you not take Tyreek at this point, right? He was sensational, the 200-plus yard first quarter. Ended up having, I think, 276 on the game, multiple touchdowns. Just flat out insane, absolutely in lockstep and rhythm with Mahomes. Torched a solid Tampa Bay Buccaneers secondary, and he showed up, and he is the KC showman of the game. I don't think it's even close this week.
All right, Benny, so we got Denver next week, yeah?
Yeah, it's donkey time, and I believe this one is at Arrowhead, if I'm not mistaken. It's hard for anybody in Kansas City to feel bad for the Broncos and the Broncos fans, but they had no quarterbacks.
It was amazing. Feel bad? What are you talking about feeling bad? That was the best thing I've ever seen.
They had more interceptions, Hartzell, than completions yesterday.
It was wonderful.
Oh, I Kendall Hinton, he was a wide receiver off the practice squad to play quarterback. Like, I was rooting for Denver. I wanted to see them make some history there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, Drew Locke, you know, he's not done well against his hometown team, and I would imagine that'll continue. Although the Chiefs, for a couple of games, have just let their guard down. I don't anticipate that'll be the case in a divisional opponent. I know they did against the Raiders earlier, but Raiders, for whatever reason, just have that formula to keep it close against Kansas City lately. But Denver, not so much. Denver's got a couple of interesting playmakers, though, that I imagine might have some decent games because the Chiefs secondary has had some issues. But I will say this is once again another blowout, back-to-back blowouts in the Sunday primetime game.
Benny Heisler, my favorite turkey, Sports Illustrated's Benny Heisler. See you Wednesday.
All right, my brother. I'll talk to you soon.
The KC Morning Show.
Kitty, how you doing, girl? When are we going to set up this tree? Because I'm Holiday Hartzell, right? We're doing this. We're doing it big.
To be honest, we could do it tonight.
Tonight?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. I mean, we got wrestling tonight. It's Monday Night Raw, so.
So you might be hanging out alone.
Mm-hmm. And then I got to rewatch The Mandalorian for, you know, I just got to study for plot holes.
Right. We already watched it twice.
Well, yeah, but that's just twice. I got to do it at least a couple more times. Also, did you hear the backlash from Rosario Dawson on The Mandalorian? Have you checked this out?
No.
Well, she said some stuff you shouldn't say about trans folks.
What?
Yeah.
No.
What a bummer, right?
Mm-hmm. Damn it.
I have an Ahsoka tattoo on my arm.
Yeah.
Do you know how this makes me feel?
Terrible.
My dad, he warned me this right after I got Leia, because I've got two full arm sleeves that are just all Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And my dad, he told me, he's like, listen, man, this is before the last movie. If Leia ends up being an asshole, you're kind of out of luck. I'm like, yeah, you're right. Very disappointing, Rosario. Expected better out of you. And she's dating Cory Booker. Yep. The senator.
Yep.
The senator.
And I just, ugh. Ah.
I know. Don't meet your heroes.
I loved her.
Don't meet your heroes. I got some good news, though. I got some KC Morning Buzz for you, Kitty.
Okay.
Got a text from our buddy Amelia. What up, Amelia? She's a OG KC Morning Ho on this show. She says, quick update on the Ruse playing this evening at K-State. Game should be on ESPN+. So check out some UMKC men's basketball. I'll be doing that. I'll channel surf between that and Monday Night Raw. Let's do that. Again, huge thanks to Toriano Porter, Kansas City Stars Toriano Porter. Check out that book. It is incredible. The five people you meet in the hood before you get to heaven. It is just, yeah, absolutely incredible. And he does some amazing work for the Star. We are lucky to have the Star. I know Twitter can be the worst. And that's the whole point, though. You're supposed to have opinions. You're supposed to be challenged. You're supposed to have dialogue. So every day we have the Star in KC, we are lucky. So don't forget that. And if you can, get a subscription. Absolutely. Kitty, where can people find you?
They can find me on all forms of the web.
Mm-hmm. All of them, you say?
Including the spiders. At Holy Hearts.
Get out of here.
That was funny.
I didn't hate it. You can get me at Hartzell965. That's Hartzell with two L's. Thank you very much. You can get the KC Morning Show at the KC Morning Show on Instagram, KC Morning Show on Twitter and Facebook. And if you got an email, because we're still taking those holiday traditions and greetings, if you got anything, send us a voice memo at kcmorningshow@gmail.com. That's all I got. Kitty, a good day to be a Kansas Cityan, as always, yeah?
Always.
My name's Hartzell, that's Kitty. Say goodbye.
Adios.
The KC Morning Show.
We'll see you in the morning. Bye.
Yow.